Good job. Let's take our Bibles together and open to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we just have a brief time this morning in the Word. And so there are just 2 points, Paul and you. There's your 2-point outline. Admittedly, I'm going to talk more about Paul than about you. But let's look at what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 15. I have 9 to 11 in the bulletin, but let's start at verse 8. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 8 through 11. Paul writes, "Then last of all, he was seen by me also as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed." The title of the message this morning is Changed by Grace, and clearly that's what we see Paul testifying of here, that his life was changed by grace. So we want to talk about Paul first this morning. Before we get into the text itself, let's remember the context. What was Paul doing here? Do you remember that from last week? What was Paul doing in this section of his letter? Well, he tells us in verse 1, he was making known the gospel again. In verse 1 of this chapter, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you, I make known to you the gospel, which I preach to you, which also you received and in which you stand." Paul is making known the gospel again to a group of people who had already heard the gospel. They'd already believed it. They had received it. But now Paul's making it known again. Why? Why would you do that? Why tell them again what they already know? The answer is, in verse 2, it's because Paul was concerned that some of them had believed in vain. In verse 2, he says, "By which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." In other words, you are saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ if you hold fast to it, unless you believed in vain. Paul was concerned that some of these perhaps had believed in the gospel in vain, to no good end. We say, well, why was he concerned about that? What would give him cause to be worried that maybe they had believed in vain? Here's what gave him cause for concern. Now they are saying and doing things that are clearly against Christ and against the gospel. And beloved, by way of application, you have reason to be concerned if you know someone who has heard the gospel of Christ. Maybe you told them, and at first they received it, but then after a while they are doing and saying things that are against Christ, that are against the gospel. You have cause to be concerned. And the thing you ought to do, as we learned last week, the thing you ought to do is make known the gospel again. But you might add to that what Paul does here. Make known the gospel again and also remind them of how the gospel has changed your life. See, Paul here is making known the gospel again, but along with that, he's reminding the Corinthians of his own testimony. Just briefly, but he's reminding them of the effect that the gospel of Christ, of the effect that the risen Christ has had on his own life. Paul here is speaking to them about his own testimony. Notice what he says, jumping in at verse 8, "Then last of all he was seen by me." You remember the main truths of the gospel that Paul was making known? That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That he was buried. That he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That he was seen alive by many. And that he is coming again. Well, he's on the fourth of those main truths. And he's saying Christ is risen from the dead and he was seen alive by many. And he was seen also by me. But notice what he says in verse 8. "Then last of all he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time." Actually, his wording is a lot harsher than that. Some of you might have a different translation. In the Greek, the word is ektromati, and ektroma was the Greek word for a miscarriage, for an aborted fetus. Job used this word back in Job 3:16 when he cursed the day of his birth and wished he could have been a miscarriage that had been discarded at birth. I mean, it's graphic. Solomon talked about this in Ecclesiastes 6:3 when he said that if a man fathers 100 children and lives many, many years, but his soul is never satisfied, if a man never has satisfaction for his soul in this life, better is the miscarriage than he. Paul speaks of himself as of an aborted fetus, and I'm certain that his mother, had he heard him talk like this, would have said, "Saul of Tarsus, how dare you speak about yourself in this way?" Why would Paul say in verse 8, "Last of all, he was seen by me also as if by a miscarriage"? Let's think for a moment, what is a miscarriage? Something dead, something very undesirable, and something worthy only to be discarded. Why would Paul talk about himself like this? Verse 9. Here's why. "Because I am the least of the apostles," as in the least worthy among them. "I am not worthy to be called an apostle." Here's why. Why would you say I was like a miscarriage? Why would you say I'm the lowest, the least worthy of any of the apostles? It's because I persecuted the church of God. Paul doesn't say a whole lot about his past life here, and nor does Paul say a lot about his past life anywhere. You know why? He wasn't proud of it. By way of application, do you have a Christian testimony, a personal testimony? I've been working with someone in the church recently on theirs. You know, Paul doesn't say much about his past. We probably shouldn't say much about ours either, unless you're proud of it. But for most of us, our past before we know Christ, actually for all of us, is that we were sinners and we were sinning. Paul doesn't want to talk about it. In Acts chapter 26, he says just a few things about his past. Acts 26:9. He says, "I thought to myself," back in those days, "that I had to do many things hostile to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And this is what I did in Jerusalem. Not only did I lock up many of the saints in prisons, having received authority from the chief priests, but also when they were being put to death, I cast my vote against them. And as I punished Christians often in all the synagogues, I tried to force them to blaspheme, and being furiously enraged at them, I kept pursuing them even to foreign cities." Paul was not proud of his past, so he would never say more than about 3 to 5 sentences about the kinds of sins that he was guilty of before he met Jesus Christ. Paul tells us what he was before he met Christ in just a few words in 1 13. He says, "I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, a violent aggressor." That's what Paul was. Before he met Jesus Christ, he was, in his own words, the chief among sinners. And by the way, that is not just how he felt. When Paul says that about himself in 1 Timothy 1, he is stating a fact. "I was the worst of all sinners, the chief among them all." You know why that's important? Because Christ saved the worst sinner of all in order to put him forth as a trophy of God's grace. This is Paul's testimony. Look what he says. In verse 8, 1 Corinthians 15:8, "Last of all, he was seen by me also as by a miscarriage, as by one who was dead, undesirable, and deserving nothing but to be discarded. And yet I saw the risen Christ. I say that because I am the least of the apostles, not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But," verse 10, "now, by the grace of God, I am what I am." And what was he? What was he now when he wrote this? Sinner saved by grace. The apostle of Jesus Christ. One chosen by Christ and sent out by Christ, given authority and a commission to preach the gospel to the nations. He went from being the lowest of the low to being the highest among the high, one of the greatest of the saints. You say, well, wait a second. How can a guy go from being the chief of sinners to being a chief among saints? How does that happen? By the grace of God. That's all. Grace is undeserved favor, unmerited favor. It would be like you were a bad boy during the year, a bad girl during the year, you disobeyed mom and dad, and at Christmas time, what do? Gave you presents. Well, you didn't deserve that. Grace is like undeserved gifts, undeserved favor being poured out upon you because you are a child of God. This is Paul's testimony. And you know what? It was always a testimony about God's grace and his gratitude for it. Take a lesson. If you're a Christian and you have a testimony, let it be always a testimony of grace and given with gratitude. Listen to Paul's testimony in 1 Timothy 1. Beginning at verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. Literally, he says, I am constantly grateful. That's his testimony. I am always grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And Paul says that was shock. Me! Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, yet I obtained mercy. Because I did that ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Paul's personal testimony is always a testimony of grace and always a testimony given with gratitude. Just as it is here. Look what he says. Verse 10. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. Literally it says, his grace in me. Referring to the fact that God's grace includes not only the forgiveness of sins, not only the promise of eternal life, but God's grace inside a believer includes the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts which are meant to be used for the profit of all in the church. Back in 12 verse 7, 1 Corinthians 12, 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Paul, referring to that here, says, the grace of God inside of me was not in vain. It was not to no good end, but rather, verse 10, look what he says, rather I labored more abundantly than they all. The Greek word for labored, kapiao, is used of a farmer, the way a farmer labors in harvest time, meaning to the point of exhaustion. Sunrise to sunset. It was also used of an athlete's labors in the midst of a race as the athlete is trying to cross the finish line first. The grace of God in me was not to no good end. Rather, I labored diligently to the point of exhaustion like a farmer, like a soldier, like an athlete. And what was Paul's labor? It was the work of making disciples. That was his work. That was his labor. I labored in prayer. I labored in preaching, teaching, visiting, counseling, shepherding, confronting, reproving, rebuking, exhorting with all long-suffering and doctrine. You say, well, how does anyone labor like that? Ask Paul. Verse 10. By the grace of God, I am what I am. But his grace toward me was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Part of God's grace is the power, the energy of the risen Christ to labor for our Lord. This was Paul's testimony. And then he says, therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach and so you believe. We'll get into that next time. This is Paul's personal testimony of God's grace. Why are we given it? What is the Lord teaching us by the personal testimony of Paul? You know, here we have Christ showing all of us what Paul was before he met Christ, what Paul did before he met Christ. He was a persecutor of the church. He obviously chased and persecuted Christians. Here we have Christ showing us what he became after he met Christ. He became an apostle, a laborer for the Lord. Here we have the Lord showing us how his life changed radically for the better. And forever. Here we have the Lord telling us through Paul how it all happened by the grace of God. What's the lesson? Two things. This is how change happens. This is how it happens. This is how sinners are really changed for the better and forever. It is not by human decision. It is not by human willpower. It is not by, you know, somebody told me this last week. They said, you know what, last night I decided to change my life. not true. And that person is not a believer and doesn't know the Lord. But a person said, I decided last night to change my life. He's deceived. He might think that he's decided to change his life, but you know what? You can't change your life like that. You don't have the power. Have you ever wondered this? How do people really change? I mean, really radically change for the better and forever. How does anyone go from being an angry, hateful, spiteful person to being loving and peaceful? Well, not true. How can anyone go from being selfish and stingy to being selfless and giving? You can keep throwing out answers. It's the grace of God. Very good. How can anyone go from being immoral and perverse to being godly and upright? How does anyone go from being arrogant and prideful to being meek and humble? There is only one way. It is by the grace of God. By the grace of God. It's right there in the text, right? Good job. By the grace of God. Through faith in the risen Christ. Which leads to the second lesson of Paul's testimony. Not only is this how it happens, but this is what happens. This is what happens when a sinner truly comes to know Jesus Christ. Through faith, by grace. What happens is their life changes. You can see it. You can hear it. The person's life changes. They become a new creation. They come alive spiritually. They have new desires, new motives, new labors, new aspirations. If someone tells you that they're a Christian, but their life doesn't change, it's good evidence they've not become a Christian. And I am very thankful for the man who told me that. When I said to him, are you a Christian? Yeah. Yeah, I like to think I am. Are you going to go to heaven? You know, I sure hope I am. He said, well, how do you know that you know that you know? That was a common question back in the day. How do you know that you know that you know? And I said, I don't know. What do you want to know? But you know what? I came up with an answer for him. And I said, you know what? I have an answer. Back in 83, I think it was, I went to a Christian camp out and there were Christian singers there and I went down to the front and I signed a card. And he said, did your life change? And he's asking me 10 years after the fact. And right away inside I knew the answer was no. And I said, yeah, yeah, changed. Liar. My life hadn't changed at all. If someone is a true believer in Christ, it comes out in their life and their labor. And that's what Paul's saying. By the grace of God, I am not what I was. By the grace of God, I am now what I am. And that grace in me was not in vain. I am now living for and laboring for, to the point of exhaustion, the Lord Jesus Christ. You want evidence that someone's saved? They're going to live for Christ. You want evidence that someone's saved? They're going to labor for Christ. In some way, somehow, they are going to do the work of ministry. That's evidence. You want to know your testimony? It's given to us in Ephesians 2. Here's our testimony. And it's what happens when believers come to know Christ. And you, Ephesians 2:1, He made alive. Alive from the dead. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all, here's our testimony, we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, just like the rest. There's our testimony. We used to live according to the lusts of our flesh. We used to be children of wrath, just like everyone else. But God. There's our testimony in two words. But God. Ephesians 2, verse 4. God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And He raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, here's part of our testimony, not yet realized, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Verse 10, Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So that brings us to the second point, and that's you. We've talked about Paul. We've heard his testimony. Brief, very brief. But let's talk about you. And for you, I have a few questions. They apply to me as well. Question number one. Has your life been radically changed by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ? Are you going in a different direction thanks to the grace of God? That's for you to assess, right? The Bible says, examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. Is Christ Jesus alive in you? Is the risen Lord Jesus Christ alive in you? Have you come to know Christ as your Savior and your Lord? If you look at your life now, in the present time, this past week, this past month, or observe it in the coming month, is your life about Christ? Are you living for Him? Are you laboring for Him? If not, you are going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way. But I have good news for you. If you're headed the wrong way, the good news is you're here today, and God in this place today is calling you to repent. He's overlooked these times of ignorance, as it says in Acts 17:30. God has overlooked these times of ignorance, but He's now commanding all sinners everywhere to repent. To repent because He has appointed the day on which He is going to judge the world in righteousness by the one whom He has ordained, that is by Jesus Christ, and He's given evidence of this by raising Him up from the dead. The risen Christ is the assurance that God is going to judge in righteousness, just like He said, and He's going to judge by Christ. If you're here today and your life has not been radically changed by the grace of God, then in the name of Jesus Christ, I call on you today to repent, to turn from following sin, to turn from fulfilling the lusts of your flesh, and call upon the Lord for mercy today. And you know what? If you today believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. And you will receive the Spirit of God. If you have come to know Christ, my second question then to you is, what is your testimony? What is your testimony? Do you tell it to others? Let me give you a suggestion based on Paul's example here. Write down three sentences maximum about who you were and what you did before you came to know Jesus Christ. Three sentences. You can expand from there, but just start with three sentences. Who you were and what you did before you met the Lord Jesus Christ. Then write a couple more sentences about how you met Him. And then write a couple more sentences about who you are and what you do now since meeting Christ, and then title it, By the Grace of God. Because that's how it happened. If your life has changed and you've come to know Christ and you can see, I'm not what I was before, I'm living and loving differently now, it's by the grace of God. And the third question I have for you is, how will you use your testimony? Paul's example is he uses it to proclaim the gospel, he uses it to defend the gospel, and he uses it then to go after those who have believed but are falling away. Go back and remind them again of the grace of God, the main truths of the gospel, and how God has changed your life through faith in Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this testimony of Paul, brief as it is. Thank You for the lessons that we learned from it. Thank You for today's reminder and communion of what Christ has done for us on the cross. In His name we pray. Amen.
Preparation of our hearts. Let's sing together 323 in the hymnal, but it's up here also. At the cross.